Blog Talk Radio.
Mama. Anybody know this one? Have you any rhythm that you say? Across the board, have you any mountain that you can tunnel through? Any old saints in the house? God specializes in things that seem impossible, and he'll do what no other power, Holy Ghost power. I have some old saints in here. Can do. I remember my granddaddy asking that question. Have you any affliction? That thing incurable. Anybody remember that old folks singing that one? Doctors, those old doctors have done all they can do. Come on, church. Anybody ever say, God specializes in healing. In healing all kind of diseases, and he'll do what no other power, Holy Ghost power can do. Now we've done it contemporary. Can we do it old school?
Well, hello. This is Gernard Reed, your host with the Jeremiah Speaks radio broadcast. We greet you with Jesus' joy on this evening. It's a mighty good time to be inside. It is getting cold out, but we're going to warm it up on the inside on this evening as we study the Word of God. How many know that studying the Word of God can be exhilarating? It can be warming. It can be fulfilling. There's a place in the kingdom for much preaching, but teaching is needed. Now, there's a minister in our conference that says that your preaching is great, but teaching is needed. So we come to you on this evening in the name of Jeremiah Speaks broadcast in tandem with the Fivefold Ministry and Apostle Margie Mercer. And on this evening, we're going to go to the Word of God. But before we do that, as always, our contact information is you can reach us by email at goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. That's goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. You may reach us by phone or text. Again, text is always the most convenient. You can text us or call us at 804-313-7853. Now, you can text or call. I say text is most convenient because if you call, may not be a recognized number, and it's more difficult to deal with. But if we do not answer, just leave a message referring to the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast, and then we'll get back to you. Okay, let's get ready to go to the Word of God. I'm going to I'm going to give out three scriptures. Get your pen, your pencil, your paper, whatever devices you personally need to study the Word of God. There are three chapters that I'm going to call off first, and then we'll get to the verses when we get to each chapter. The first chapter is the New Testament book of Romans. That would be Romans, the 12th chapter. The next one is the New Testament book right after Romans is 1 Corinthians, and it's also the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Then the third one is the New Testament book of Ephesians, and it's Ephesians, the 4th chapter. And so if you'll mark those three chapters there, all written by the Apostle Paul, and so all of our writings and all of the references on this evening will come from the Apostle Paul and his writings. And so we've been in a series for a number of weeks now that began with the question, who am I? And it began with the question, who am I? Not what is my name, not what's my family name, and not, you know, things about me, not what I do. A lot of people will take our past and try to describe us as our past. It amazes me at the age that I am now that oftentimes I will speak to people and they will say, well, I went to high school or I went to college with him. I know how he is. And I'm thinking to myself, they went to high school and college 40, 45 years ago. How can that tell you how they are now? So we expect that we go through changes daily, but sometimes we act like other folk don't change their whole life. And if folk judge me by what I was when I was in high school or college, I got a bad report card if that's the case, because I've changed. The Lord has changed me, moved me to be something I never thought I would have been, in a direction I never thought I would have encountered. So we have to be careful. We cannot say who a person is by their past. And so then we ask the question, then who am I? And when if we ask the person that question, oftentimes they will tell us what we do. Oh, so I'm a preacher. I'm an evangelist. I'm a teacher. I have a daily vocation. That's not really who I am. That's what I do. Who I am and what I do, that's two different things. And what I do may be good, but that's not who I am. So we go back and ask the question, who am I? And who are you? And then we start looking at ourselves. We're so shallow. We're so shallow these days that we don't know beyond what we do, what we see, our reputation and what people say about us, our past. And that's all, those things are good references, but that's not who I am. And oftentimes when I'm in the middle of what I do, I may not know who I am, and therefore I don't do what I do as well as I could, or maybe I shouldn't be doing what I do because I don't know who I am. And so sadly, most Americans are in their last days, if they figure it out at all, who they are. So my ministry is to reach out, and it's not going to be many. Many will want to know who they are, but as we move along, it's like Jesus in the 6th chapter of John, folk will fall by the wayside when the work gets hard. It's some hard work deciphering, especially the older we get, it's some hard work figuring out who we are. So my series has been to present the basics and the parameters of who we are. So I started with the things that everybody is, and then the things that everybody in Christ is, and tonight I begin to branch out into some things that I am, that you're not, that you are, that I'm not. And so now we get into the individual characteristics. So just as a quick summary, we began with when we were born in the flesh. And when we were born in the flesh, we had the genetic disposition of both of our parents. And so we have a genetic disposition of both of our parents. That's our genetic makeup. That's it starts with our DNA. Nobody in the whole world that ever lived or lives now had the same DNA that we have. That's what we're told by scientists. Nobody that ever lived or lives now has the same fingerprint as we do. That's what we're told by scientists. And so we have the same. We have a special DNA, and that comes from the combination of our genetic makeup, eye color, whether we are right-handed or left-handed. That's all in our genetic makeup. If those who ascribe to the theory of a left brain, right brain, that's determined. And so where is this stuff kept? So hair color, where is all of this stuff kept? Where is our DNA? What's the resting place, the host for our DNA and all of this stuff? We know where our fingerprints is kept, is on our fingers. So I introduced, now I got to be fair, a lot of Christians don't even believe in the soul. If you use the King James Bible, it's throughout the Bible, the word soul. So when man was created, it says God made man a living soul. Starts there and goes all the way to Revelation. But if you use a New International Version, it does not mention the word soul. It uses the word spirit, even heart, body. It'll use all the kinds of things to cover it for not using the word soul. So there, actually, I want to be fair when I say that, a lot of folk don't even believe there is a soul, and that the soul is what goes back to God, but a lot of folk don't even believe that there is such a thing. I guess in the world of psychology, they would tell us that every being has a soul, and in our soul is our emotion center. Soul is our emotion center. So many believe that it's that and nothing more, but that's there too. So we come with an emotion pack, all of us do. We're born with an emotion pack, and the way we develop that is really up to us. Some people, you never see them angry, ever. And I can't recall ever seeing this guy angry. Probably been angry, but we never saw it. That's called temperance. Has excellent control of his anger. Some people, you never see them cry. They might be sad, but they never cry. That's the way they handle their emotions, but the emotion is in the soul. And then we know some people angry all the time, it seems like. Crying all the time, it seems like. Some people laugh easily. The least little thing will make them happy. Some folk, you never see them. The best joke you could ever tell, and they just kind of, you know, make a grimace. We all have an emotional pack in us, the way we handle it and develop it. That's what the developmental years is all about, is developing those things which God has given to us. It all comes from God. And then we talk about that I introduced another controversial subject, free will. Free will is controversial from beginning to end. I talk about being made in the image of God. We're made in the image of God in that mankind has a pure empirical wisdom. Mankind can write down things and give it to other people. I can leave things for my grandchild who I may never meet, and they will learn and grow from things I've done. We can pass down tales and do that. Animals can't do that. Insects can't do that. They can learn and reason while they're here, but they can't pass it to the next one. It's called empirical reasoning and empirical wisdom. So human beings have that. We're born with that. We're born with that ability. Now, animals are born with instinct. Human beings are born with some things instinctively, but not much. You've heard the stories where you can throw an infant baby in the water, and a baby most of the time will begin to swim and survive. You can throw a 25-year-old in the water and might make it, might not make it, because we're born with that instinctive ability to swim, but the older we get, we train it out of ourselves. And so many things I talk about with the rooster. The rooster has some, and when I say rooster, I'm talking about a man. Man ain't nothing but a rooster, but there are some qualities that we have as a young man, 13 to 14-year-old, that we train ourselves out of. And some of that's good, some of it's not so good. So all of this is part of who we are. And so we have a free will. God made us in his image, gave us a free will. We have the right to reject God or to accept God. He gives us that authority and that right. At any time, anywhere along the way, we can at any time reject God and walk away from his plan. So we talk about heaven or hell. We can choose either one. In fact, God doesn't place anybody in hell. And his word says, it's the will of God that all men might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It is not the will of God that we go to hell. But because God loves us so much, he gave us a free will just like he has, and we can select to go to hell. We can select to reject God and chase after some other God. He allows that. That is a God who knows who he is and is not made based on the way we think about it. He has some qualities that are threatening we should look at in the lady. God allows us to make those decisions, those heavyweight decisions. I choose God. I choose Jesus as my Savior. I choose the walk of faith with my God. Please don't let my hand go. Even if I fall down, Lord, please pick me up. And if I get off course, send somebody to tell me about myself and get back on course. That's where I want my free will to be, in the hands of God. In fact, I want to surrender my free will back to God so that I can walk in lockstep with him down here and live with him forever up there. I wish I had witness in here. So that's another thing we get is free will. And then we go to when we're born again. So we're born in sin, shaped in iniquity the first time. We're born in a world of sin, and we believe we are God. A lot of people have trouble accepting that. So when we're born into sin, we believe we are God. We might even believe that some other people are gods, and we might even believe that there's a supreme being up above who is God also, but we believe that we are God. And we do anything that we are big and bad enough to do until we fall flat on our face. And we fall flat on our face, there's supposed to be somebody right there beside us telling us about Jesus and telling us that, brother, you just can't make it on your own. And I'm so glad that I had more than one to do that for me, and I pray that everybody has somebody to meet them at their lowest and introduce them to Jesus. And so when we're born again, okay, that's a controversial one too. A lot of folks say, well, I know Jesus, I love the Lord, I've been baptized, but I'm not born again. I don't understand that. Born again is you either gave yourself to Jesus or not. If you place yourself in between, you're in no man's land. He says, lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth because you're neither hot nor cold. So we got to make a declaration one way or the other. We can't play both. Can't serve. No man can serve two masters. For either he'll love one and hate the other or cleave to the one and draw away from the other. So here we are. We're born again. And when we're born again, the Spirit of God comes to us. Just like it says that Jesus, and Jesus, this is symbolizing born again, because Jesus was born again. But when Jesus was being baptized, the Spirit of God in the form of the Holy Ghost in the form of a dove descended on him to illustrate what happens when we go through this change. So the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, comes to us to indwell, to live inside of us. And when the Holy Ghost comes, when we're born again, we get a whole new DNA. We get to keep the old one. We get to keep what we were born with, the genetic disposition from our parents and all of that biological. We keep that. But we get a new spiritual DNA. Whereas before we were a filthy spirit that was against God and for ourselves only and selfish. Now we get a new spirit, but we still have that free will that may or may not receive and accept all of it. But God plants in our spirit when we are born again a certain quality. There are nine fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All of those he plants into our spirit. So we got all of those once we're born again. It's just like what I said about the emotions. It's up to us to develop them, to learn, to be trained how to use our temperance. How to use our goodness and our gentleness and our faith. How to use that love, the godly love we're talking about that he's given us. So then we got nine fruits of the Spirit. We got all nine. And then we talk about, he gives some of us tonight, we talk about gifts. So I'm going through 19 gifts of the Spirit tonight. It's listed in these three books that I said. And I'm going to breeze through them. But we don't get all 19. It is possible. Paul seems to indicate he had all 19. I'm sure there were others. Jesus had all of them. But we usually don't get all 19. Now, everybody gets all nine fruits of the Spirit when they're born again. They're planted into our soul. They're down there in our soul. What we do with them is up to us, but they're there. The gifts of the Spirit work a little differently. We can actually pray to God and ask for a gift or more of a gift and attain that gift. An immediate example is the gift of tongues. It's rare for a person to be born again, baptized. Baptism is a symbol of being born again. But it's rare for a person to be born again and immediately start speaking in tongues. It has happened, but it's not immediate. They're usually two different things. That is something we need to pray and put ourselves in position for God to bless us with. So we're not born again with that particular gift. So I'm going to go through 19 gifts. And so I'm going to start in, I think I can do all of these in 10 minutes. I'm going to start with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we go through verses 4 through 11. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, and this is going to outline the largest list of gifts, and we're going to say a word or two about each one and keep it moving. So in the fourth chapter, let me try that again. I went to the fourth chapter. Let's go to the 12th chapter of First Corinthians and verses 4, start at verse 4. He says, let's start at verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these, quote, dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's key. That's key. Now, we're talking about the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit being inside of us, certain things we can't do when we operate in the Holy Ghost. And that's certain things that we can do when we're operating in the Holy Ghost. Talked about that last Wednesday, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There's some things that the spirit of error cannot do. So it cannot even mimic the Holy Ghost because it's so limited. So anyhow, we go to verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same spirit. So there are many gifts, but one Holy Spirit. All of the gifts must answer to the Holy Spirit. And so if somebody's doing or acting in contrary to the Holy Spirit, contrary to your understanding, and you got the Holy Spirit, we have an issue there. Verse 5 says there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. So two people may have the same gift and use it differently. People may have different gifts and use them for different purposes. That's the plan of the Holy Spirit. Always remember that there were four gospel writers that we have in our canon, in our Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They did not agree on all of the details of this. They saw things differently. It was manifested differently through them. So we need to remember that when we see that there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, differences of administration, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works in all. Look, he takes three scriptures, three verses to repeat that three times before he gets into these gifts. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. For to one, here we are, here's the list, is given by the Spirit of the word of wisdom. That's one gift. To another, the word of knowledge is another gift by the same Spirit. To another, faith, another gift by the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healing, another one, by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh at one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So there he names the gifts. And then if you keep reading the rest of this chapter all the way to verse 31, he says how the gifts should work together as body parts. Just like your feet work together with your hands. There's an exercise I can show you with your hand, how it impacts and affects the way your foot works. And stop and think about it. I broke my toe, went to a ball game because I already had tickets with my toe broken. And that toe hurt worse and worse as the day went on. And by the end of the day, pretty much my whole body was hurting. Why? Because my toe was hurting. When my toe hurts, that affects and impacts the rest of my body. And that's the way it is in the body of Christ. When one of us is hurting, every one of us should be hurting. Something should be going on with every one of us because one of us, and we run to one another to pray for, to stand in the gap for, and all of that. So it talks about how we all those gifts work together. And then he comes back, and he talks about, verse 31. So, 1 Corinthians 12:31 reads, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you in a more excellent way. So, go after those gifts. And so here, we go, that list kids, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and government. The first one is wisdom. We know what wisdom is. It's not just knowledge. Wisdom is not just knowing stuff. Wisdom is understanding stuff, and all you're getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the word wise. Wise and wisdom, same root. Wise is to take the knowledge that you have attained and use it. And we say use it wisely. You've learned over time, maybe from something being passed down by your grandfather, by your grandmother, but we've learned how to use this. But then there's a gift of wisdom that plants that in our spirit. And that we're automatically wise. just like that. And we lean and gear toward wisdom. Another one is knowledge. Knowledge works the same way as wisdom. There are some people that just know so much. Stop and think about back in Africa, they had the griots. And the griots were the historians for the tribe. And they didn't write. They didn't read. They committed all of the tribe history to memory. And if you wanted to know something, and if you can remember, I don't know who remembers the story, Roots, that Alex Haley wrote the story, Roots. And Roots was a fictional story. It was historical fiction. It was based on history, but there were so many gaps in it that he had to fill in the gaps, and therefore it was called fiction. But most of it was the story of the Haley family. He went back to Africa, and he went to the tribe, and he went to the griot. Now, by this time, the griot can read and write. But traditionally, what the griot would do is just start reciting history off the top of their head as far back as they had ever heard. And then you would have to hit them or something to stop them at the point where your family came into it so you could get to slow them down and get to deep. But they were like a tape recorder, just reeling off, and this one begat this one, this one begat this one, this one begat this one, this one had twins, and this one begat this one. They did that off the top of their head. And that's a gift of knowledge. We go to faith. I'm not even going to make it through the First Corinthians list. What we got next week, that's not a problem. Faith, we know a little bit about faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, this is a faith that a person is born again with, this great faith. That it's a gift of faith. And with that faith, they're able to do a little bit more than us. We have to cultivate and build our own faith. Then there's a gift of healing. Oh, we have some visual, some history of the gift of healing where a person may lay hands on someone and that person will be healed. The person may, Jesus said, the centurion said, don't even come to my house. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus did just that. He also healed the Syrophoenician lady's daughter by just speaking the word. That's a healing gift that Jesus had. That's a healing gift where nobody, they said it couldn't be done, that you could raise a person from the head, but nobody could open blind eyes. Jesus made a mud concoction, put it on a man's eyes. Man could see a little bit and say, I see people, but they look like trees. And Jesus adjusted it a little bit more, and then the man could see perfectly. He opened blind eyes. The man, Bartimaeus. Jesus healed Bartimaeus. He healed the blind man in John 9 that had been blind since birth. So that gift is available to us, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles. We so often associate miracles with healing, and that's, healing can be a miracle, but a miracle is any suspension of the natural to achieve the supernatural. Any suspension of what was, Joshua asked God to hold back the sun so he could win the battle. God interrupted time so Joshua could win a battle. That's a miracle. Some scientific things coming together, clouds going this way, a cloud hanging over the children of Israel. These are miracles that people have witnessed, and many of us have witnessed miracles. Last night I heard Apostle Mercer talking about being in the room and seeing a miracle with their own lives, and then talking about being in another room and seeing another miracle. So this is a gift of miracles, so a group of us can get together and pray for a miracle. God will bring a miracle. But there are some people that just for a season have this gift of miracles. Then there's prophecy. Prophecy is so many forms of prophecy. I have a form of prophecy. Prophecy at its base, we're going to get to that when we get to Romans, is truth-telling. It's Jesus speaks to the woman at the well and said, where's your husband? She said, I don't have one. He said, ah, but you had five husbands, and the man you're with now is not your husband. And we're talking prophecy here. Discernment. And I'm going to stop on discernment. Discernment is being able to see through into beyond the surface. This is the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast talking about the gifts of the Spirit. We will resume this next week. We want you to stay tuned for the Fivefold Ministry and Apostle Margie Mercer. May the Lord bless and keep you. Heaven smile upon you.
for you, I see. Through the rush of getting hurt, to be anxious and to worry, and shut up and come and see. And remaining in my safety, you'd rather do it all yourself.
Never leave your side. You just listened to Be Still by Yolanda Adams, and this is the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. We hope that you listen to us each week starting at 7 o'clock as well on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. God bless you again, and as we get ready to go into our inner courts, and thus hear the Lord of hosts and give him reverence and give him praise, we would like you to sit back, relax, and just consider a thing that God can do anything but fail. If you would like to reach us, our email is F like five, F like four, M like ministries, W like worldwide, dot inc, I-N-C, at Verizon.net. Again, that is the Fivefold Ministry. God bless you again, and let us sit back at this time as we listen to one of our great speakers and pastors. God bless you.
The only reason I'm standing in this pulpit today is because love brought me out. I'm glad there's a God that can get down in my situation and pick me up and take me out of that situation. God knows how deep you are. God knows how messed up you are, and that does not scare him. It may scare the world. It may scare church people, but it does not scare God. God's not afraid of you. God is calling you. God is calling you right now with the power of his love. God is calling you out of your sin. He's calling you out of your misery. He's calling you out of your blood. He's calling you out of your pain. He's calling you out of your sleepless nights. He's calling you out of your misery. Somebody ought to stand up and answer the call of the love of God.
Amen and amen. The preacher said that somebody needs to stand up and answer the call of God. You know, when you answer that call of God, you can just sit back and relax and just say, you know, God, I have carried a heavy load, but when I turn it over to you and leave it at the foot of the cross, I can behold your grace, your power, and God, I can behold the Lamb. Let us listen to Tamela Mann and Fantasia now. Behold the Lamb. God bless you.
Precious Lamb.
Why you love me so?
Why you love me so? Lord, I shall never know. He was born into sin precious name of God. Even when I always in the light, and when love is gone, I need it so right. But I'm standing out here in the midst of my tears, and I pray you to be the love of God.
Yes, the songwriter says, who God sets free is free indeed as we behold the Lamb of God. Isn't it nice to know that we can behold the Lamb of God? I would like you to get out your Bibles at this time. We're going to look at John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Again, that's John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. I won't be with you long. And I want you to just come on and ride this train with me. We're going to look at John chapter 4, verses 1 through 42. Again, it's John chapter 4, verses 1 through 42. And we ask now that God will have his way to speak through me for his people so that he alone can be glorified. Amen. You know, I was having a conversation with my godfather today. And we were talking about a video that's being circulated among the leaders and the churches. And the video gave some good points in reference to holiness or hell. They were also talking about the standard that is in the church body as well as in the house of the Lord. But it disturbed me because the preacher was naming out some things that she thought was in error, and it will prevent certain people from being used by God. Lord, have mercy. So the title of my message is The Adulteress and the Harlot. I'll say it again, The Adulteress and the Harlot. Well, we look at our scripture in John chapter 8. It says that the scripture said that Jesus was told that this woman was caught in the act of adultery. Jesus was in the temple teaching the scribes and the Pharisee as their teacher. The church folk, I'll say it again, those church folk brought this woman to Jesus, and they told him that according to the law, she should be stoned. Let's stop right there. Just listen right now. That she should be stoned. Uh-oh. You know where I'm headed. And Jesus said, let him who is without sin, cast the first stone. It says, Jesus said, let him who is without sin, cast the first stone. This woman was Mary Magdalene, Mary of Bethany, as identified in Luke 7. However, in Leviticus 20, 10 and 12, it reads, if a man commits adultery, hear it now, if a man commits adultery with another man's wife, even with the wife of his neighbor, both, it says both the adulterer and the adulteress shall be held accountable and must be put to death. Both of them will be put to death. The punishment is stoning. However, the focus was on the woman. I say it again, the focus was on the woman. God forbid, we're going to just stop right here a little bit, and we are going to hear another little little praise of worship from Reverend Anderson as we listen to another preach word. God bless you, and hold on to your seats, because I feel all right. I feel like just praising God. Amen.
Standing there with you. God sees you in your lion's den, and he'll get in there with you. God sees you in your Philippian jail, and he'll get in there with you. God sees you in the mess you made of your life. And instead of reminding you that you got in it on your own, he'll get in there with you. I don't need nobody telling me I'm on dope. I know that. I don't need nobody telling me I'm an alcoholic. I know that. What can wash away my sin? Not your advice, not your criticism, not your ridicule, nothing but the blood of Jesus. People who are hurting don't need you to add to their hurts with your scripture recall. My heart is broken. And you coming in here talking about bring all the tithes in the storehouse. You ain't even using the right scripture. I mean, if you're going to quote scripture, at least quote the right one. Here, my mama's dead, and you come in here talking about you can't beat God-given. No matter how you try, the more you give. That's true, but it ain't got nothing to do with the pain that I'm in. He took my feet out of the miry clay. And brothers and sisters, there's a world of difference between quicksand and a rock. Some folk you hanging with are quicksand. You need to get with some folk who are rock solid. Because the more you with them, the more depressed you gonna be, the more down you gonna be, and before you know it, you start talking just like them. You'll start acting just like them. But if you get with some folk who are rock solid and trust God no matter what the day brings, you'll find yourself smiling when ain't nothing funny.
Yes, when you turn it over to God, you have the victory. Let us look at John chapter 4, verses 1 through 42. The scripture says that when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Jesus was weary in his journey. Around the sixth hour, his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. This story of the woman at the well demonstrates that Jesus comes to the least or the outcast of society. This woman was considered inferior because of her gender, because of her culture, because of the color of her skin, and listen now, her relationship that is recorded in history. God forbid. Can you imagine how you are written up in history books, how you are recorded even in the scrolls back then? It talks about who you are as a human being, and it puts your relationship in history as the pattern of you, your culture, or your people. Jesus saw the need for her salvation, and he said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the man you are now sleeping with," the man you are living with is not your husband. So if I look at a subtitle to this little sermonette, it's called The Thirst. I'll say it again. It's called The Thirst. You know, sin causes a thirst. It's a need or it's a hunger to be fulfilled. In this story, lust, maybe even love, was a thirst. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this natural water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. I'll say it again. Jesus said, what he gave you to drink, you will have eternal life. Jesus knows our past. He knows our pain. He knows who we are. He knows what we are. And he knows the purpose that he has for our life. Yes, he does. We don't have to depend on man's opinion. We don't have to depend what is written in the history books. All we have to do is what depends in the Lamb Book of Life. What does it say about me, my life, and my character? When you lean on God, when you trust in God, you can stand. You know, that's the good thing about the Lord, that nobody else that you can depend on, but you can depend on God. Oh, Lord have mercy. Let us listen to John P. Key right now. We're going to take a little break. John P. Key and stand. God bless you. Amen.
Not knowing I'd lose my purpose, but I'd rather live right than in hell lift up my eyes. All God's children for sight. Tell somebody you say, tell order. Stand for holiness.
For holiness. Oh. And all right,
so and they
come on them, that's the way we
stand. Oh,
hey. Oh. And
yes, you have to stand, especially when your accusers are coming to your door. And I thought it was so ironic when I read the story that according to Leviticus, it says that if a man commits adultery or if a man have a woman to commit fornication, a desire, a sexual desire and interest, even if he commits adultery or has sex with another man's wife, that both of them are the adulterer and the adulteress. You know, I'm an old country girl from the South. I can't get it, you know, get those words right. But anyway, the focal point was on the woman. I guess she slept by herself. So when the people came in there, they saw her. They said, okay, that you're the adulteress. But they forgot that it took two to commit the crime. Good God Almighty. You know, it's funny that people can remember your sin, but sometimes they forget theirs. People can point at you and say, you know, I remember when that boy used to hang on that corner, and that girl, she was number old prostitute. Her mama wasn't no good. Her daddy was a drunk, so you can expect it. Everybody got a word about you, your life, your business, and who you are as a human being, but yet they didn't put breath in your body. They don't pay your bills. They don't have a heaven or hell to put you in, but they always got something to say and put their mouth on you. Lord, have mercy. You know, when I read this particular text and I looked at this thing, it bothered me because the preacher on the video made it appear that if you have a sin nature, if you have committed sin, should you be allowed to come into church till you get clean? I remember when I had my church, I was told that my boys on the corner who were selling drugs until they could take off the white tees and black tees and stop looking like street kids and get their hair cut and take the braids out, they shouldn't come in my church. I said, what did you say? You said that a soul that God has woke up this morning is not allowed to come in my church because of how they dress. They were appropriate. They didn't have on a tie and suit. Their butt wasn't hanging out. But yet, just because they appeared to be common folks and not church folks, that I was told, and I had just got installed as pastor, that they couldn't come into the church. Lord have mercy. You know, I looked over at this particular story with this Samaritan woman that, you know, everybody was calling her the harlot. She was good looking. All the men want her. And yet everybody knew her for her reputation. They didn't talk about the man that he slept around. They didn't talk about the man that he was adulterous. They didn't talk about the man that he was a whoremonger. They didn't talk about the man that he got five babies with five different mothers. Uh-oh, I'm stepping on somebody's toes. I know they don't like it, but it's true that the focal point, the focus was on a woman and what she was doing. I always say you got 6 months to mind your own business and 6 months to leave others alone. So the scriptures made it very clear that Jesus knew everything about this woman. He came to the least. He came to the outcast. He came to the homosexual. He came to the drunk. He came to the lesbian. He came to the prostitutes. He came to those non-Jewish people. He came to all souls that all of us have came short. I'll say it again. We all have come short to the glory of God. Somebody said, you know, I ain't never sinned. I've been holy all my life. I said, well, do you eat a lot of food? Yeah, I got to lose 20 pounds. I said, that's gluttony. Somebody said, well, I don't mess with nobody's husband. That's not what I do. I said, oh, okay. But yet, I said, well, what about that boyfriend that you got living with you? What makes it any different? You say you don't commit adultery, but you're doing fornication. Just go ahead and get married, one or the other. So it's funny how people can fix it up to justify what they're doing, but they don't want to consider what somebody else is doing in a positive light. Everybody got some negative to say. Well, you're a man, woman, short, tall, skinny, fat, black, green. Somebody always got their mouth on you. People say, I don't talk about nobody. I don't gossip. I say, oh, okay. I hear you talking about the people on the news. You don't know nothing about them. I hear you looking at YouTube and Facebook and you giving your judgment based on some article that you read. Have you met the person personally? You know, this is what I love about the Lord. He said to the woman, he said, I know you don't have no husband. You have had five. You have had five people sleeping in your bed with you. It's called the thirst. That sin will make you be thirsty sometimes. It make you be hungry sometimes. It make you seek after. It make you go out in the midnight hour. It make you take that cell phone and put the covers over your head. It make you just, in the midnight hour, you just be looking down at that cell phone. I hope we have some grown-ups because I'm going to say this in a positive light. I read a story about Ruth and Boaz. She was told by Naomi, she said, look, let me tell you something. There's a thirst that Boaz has. I want you to go into his tent in the wee hours of the morning. Look good, smell good, but be at his feet. And when Boaz wake up, he's going to look down his feet. He's going to see you. But you know what to do. You got to ask for marriage. Oh, I said it again. Sound like a setup to me. He saw Ruth down there, but he knew what he had to do to get Ruth. A lot of times we play games with ourselves. Oh, hallelujah. That thirst will make you do some crazy things. Sit up all night long. Think about things that happened 20 years ago. Hang on to some that's a dead situation, hoping there's a flicker of light. Make you listen to them old love music. I remember when, good God Almighty, because there's a thirst. Sometimes it's a thirst for companionship. Sometimes there's a thirst for love. Good God Almighty. But God said that if we will choose him, we won't be thirsty no more for the wrong thing. You know why? He know what you stand in need of. He knew that maybe your mother and dad, well, at least your mom didn't hug you enough, that your father didn't pat you on your back, that your neighbors didn't see anything good in you, and that everybody was talking about you, even say you didn't qualify for that job. Uh-oh, some say, she on food stamps, but yet they'll buy it at the corner. So you know what? I got $40 worth of food stamps. If you give me 20, good God almighty. We are so quick to point the blame out, the mote in somebody else's eye without seeing it in our own. I heard one time they said, you know, that man over there, he's sleeping up, he's shacking up, and he a minister. I said, then what is the woman? Well, you know, she's a nice girl, but she fell victim. Sound like a harlot to me. There was a thirst. Both of them was guilty. Good God almighty. Sometimes the people forget that you do have a human nature, and only God can convert you. Only God can clean you up. Hey! Only God can show you who you are and show you that you're thirsty and that he needs to quench that thirst. Good God almighty. You know, I used to hear the old people say, God, keep me near the cross. God, keep me away from the thirst. You know, I want to say to all of you, before you point your finger at somebody else, point it back at yourself. Before you condemn somebody else, look at the skeletons in your closet. Because all of us are standing in the need of prayer. All of us are standing that we need the grace and mercy of God. Hey, hallelujah. And if you don't remember anything else tonight, remember that only Jesus can quench that thirst. Let us listen to John P. King again. We're standing in the need of God to quench our thirst. Amen. Standing in the need that we need the Lord for our strength. We need the Lord for our strength and be able to quench that thirst. You know, I want to invite you again while I have your attention that come New Year's Eve, if you don't go to your own service for whatever reason, it could be whether it's the weather or maybe ailment or you just don't want to go out in a cold, whatever reason, that you can still hear the word of God being preached. We have our own Reverend Reed and the men of God, I call the men of God who are going to rightly divide the word of truth in those seven last words. Our time will be December the 31st from 10:30 p.m. to 12:30 a.m. Let us listen to the seven last words. You know why? Because maybe God can help us to quench our thirsts. God bless you again. As you listen to the fivefold ministry and Jeremiah speaks, be blessed that all of us have a purpose to do in God, like fingers on a hand. We have different bodies, but we're on the same part that we need to work together as one unit, as Ephesians 4, unity in the body and faith. God bless you again, and don't be thirsty. Amen.
healing.